right, kindergarten through fourth grade can now be dismissed. And while they're being dismissed, Luke, you just turn around. I'm going to introduce you while the kids go out. Vanetta's going out with them. This is Luke Moore. He's a senior at West Coast Baptist College, graduating in May. He's here with us this weekend, just serving the Lord, spending some time with us, seeking the Lord's will, and we are too. And we're just thankful to have him here. Let's give him a hand for being here with us. Thank you, brother. Amen. Appreciate Brother Luke. Okay, thank you. What a blessing. What an encouragement. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah there in the Old Testament? We're going to pick back up in our series, Doing a Good Work. We know that God has called Nehemiah to do a wonderful work for His glory. And we are grateful that He has also called us to do a good and great work for His glory. What a blessing. And so we're going to pick up in the end of chapter 3, Nehemiah, there in your Old Testament. If you're having a hard time finding it, just go to the Psalms and then just work your way backwards until you hit it. And you shouldn't take long right before Job and Nehemiah chapter 3. And I ask a brother, get me a glass of water. Anybody that's able to do that, that'd be a blessing. I appreciate it. But Nehemiah chapter 3, find your place there. We are looking forward to it. Let me just mention this. I did not mention the announcements. We do have the Easter services coming up. And we have these invitations available for you to distribute and hand out. So if you would, please grab those. We've printed them. I think we're able to get out at least 100, would you say, yesterday? We were able to give out 100 in the neighborhoods here in our just our little community of houses and neighborhoods. But we're going to go out again, Lord willing, after I think we're going to try to go out at 2 p.m. What's that work day going to? It goes from 10 to 12, all right? And then those that are able to come, we understand with all these things coming on, you can't make everything. I understand that and respect that. But if you can make it, we'll take another group out at 2 p.m. on Saturday, weather permitting, and to get these out to the surrounding areas. And it does help. What we do with these types of flyers, when we go out in the neighborhoods, we stick them on the side of the mailboxes usually. That is legal. We can't put them in. But we just stick them on the outside. People seem to appreciate that normally. Just a kind invitation to them. So grab those. Even if you're able to come, you can take them to your own neighborhood, and certainly appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Wes. So those are just a good invitation. It's even got the gospel on the back. It's got 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, which says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so we want to get that out. Thank you for being faithful to invite those around us so that they can have hope too. Amen. We want them to have hope just like we do because of Christ. Nehemiah chapter 3. If you're not there yet, just look on with somebody. That'll work too. Amen. That's what I've done before, and it works just fine. But Nehemiah chapter 3, we've been looking at the gates that were being rebuilt. Remember, the city was destroyed, and they were struggling to get it built back. They were a disgrace to the surrounding pagan communities. God's people were just looking bad. Nehemiah caught word of it. We understand that. I believe a brother there came and reported, and boy, he got a burden immediately. Hey, we ought to thank God for the burdens God gives us. There's good burdens and there's bad burdens. We ought to thank God for the good burdens. Amen? There are burdens that we need to cast to Him that are weighing us down that He did not intend to weigh us down. But thank God, we need to understand that God also gives us good burdens to help direct us in life, to give us focus, to give us strength, to give us His power. And this was a burden. It was a burden that my people are struggling.
My city is destroyed. And so he went to the Lord. He fasted and prayed. He got a hold of God. He spent some time. Then he went before this pagan king that could have taken his life. He was the cupbearer, and he went. And God just used that whole incident for the cupbearer to be before the king. And the king noticed something was wrong. That this man's not normal. He's not, something's weighing on him. And he was able to just to say, My city is being destroyed. The place where my fathers and grandfathers are buried. And I'm broken about that. And God used that to orchestrate just a divine calling and a divine appointment for him to go back. By the way, God, listen, God always blesses people that are broken. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. God uses it when we have a spirit of humility and brokenness and honesty. And God bless that man for that. And He'll bless you for that. He'll bless me for that. It's when we get hard-hearted and we're not willing to be broken. That's where we get in trouble. And may God help us. But he kept going, and of course he did a survey trip. That's where we looked at. After he got the burden, he showed up. He saw the devastation, but then he rallied the troops. He came in. He said, "Oh God, you got to help us. You will help us. You've called us." And he rallies the troops and says, "Listen, folks, God's called me here. God's going to rebuild this city for His name, for His glory. God's doing a work, and I'm asking you to join me. I'm asking you to come alongside me. I'm going to take the lead in this, and we're going to see God do a work of revival, a work of rebuilding, a work of restoration, a work of reconciliation. We're going to all work together. Moms are going to get involved. Children are going to get involved. Professionals are going to get involved. The priests are going to get involved. Everybody's going to get involved." Except that we learned that there was one small group there that they were noble, and because of their nobility, they thought they were too good to work. We understood, hey, nobody's too good to be working for the Lord and serving the Lord. Well, they didn't get involved. And by the way, they missed the blessing. When we refuse to serve, we forfeit the blessing. But they got involved, and here we are. They're rebuilding, man. Everybody, all hands on deck. I loved what one brother said the other night at Freedom That Last. It just encouraged my heart. Brother John B. was here, and he comes to our Friday night, the Freedom That Last group, and just an encouragement. It was pouring. I mean, it was pouring down rain Friday night. And I was thinking to myself, of course, you know, man, I don't know if anybody's going to show up tonight. You know, Friday night, it's dreary, dark, pouring down rain. Here come old John B. through the door. I said, "John B.," I said, "what's going on, brother?" And he said, "well, hey, what's going on, Pastor?" I said, "I'll be honest with you. I didn't know if any folks were going to show up tonight." He said, "Pastor," he said, "I'm an all-conditioned Christian." I said, "Amen. I like that. An all-conditioned Christian." He was dedicated. He was just simply saying, "I'm going to be here, and no matter what the conditions around me are going to be, I just want to be faithful." That's this crowd here. They said, "Let's build it, Nehemiah." They caught the vision. They caught the burden. And they said, "Let's do it, brother." Now, they were not perfect. We're going to see here in a little bit. Some, they're going to get weak, just like we all do. They're going to have questions that are going to come up in the battle, because the enemy's going to come and try to distract them, saying, "Ah, y'all don't need to do that. And if you do it, why don't you let us get on board and help, too?" That's what the enemy was doing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what they're doing right here is chapter 3 gives special emphasis to the main gates of the city. 10 are mentioned in total. I'm not going to go through and repeat all of them, but they were very significant, each gate. And they have a special representation that we have looked at. Well, today we're going to look at the last one, okay? The last one is what we find here. If you'll notice with me, we'll look there in chapter 3, verse 31. It says here in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 31, "After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate of Mithkad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths
and the merchants. Now, you do see sheep gate in verse 32, but that is simply repeated. He dealt with that very first in the beginning of chapter 3. And we recognize that significance. But the one we're looking at is in verse 31. You can underline that. It says, over against the gate, Mithkad. Okay, that word, that Hebrew word there, Mithkad, carries the idea of inspection. In fact, you'll see it in some commentaries listed as the gate of inspection. What was so significant about this gate? Well, I'm going to mention a few things, and then we're going to go to another passage of Scripture to take a deeper look of what this represents in our Christian life here living in the New Testament dispensation. So we see this Mithkad gate, or the gate of inspection, is the final gate, and we see this Hebrew word has a military connection. What is the military connection? Well, it was the gate that King David would go out to meet and get it, inspect his troops. Those of you that have been in the military, you'll remember when you're getting ready for an assignment, a lot of times there's an inspection. You got all the things in order. You got your military gear. You have your armor. You have your uniform. You have all the supplies. There are different things that are needed going out, and then even coming in from war and battle, there is an inspection, and that's where they came in at this point. And so what does this represent for us today? What's the significance of the gate? Well, I believe this inspection gate represents our inspection from the Lord, or you could call it our judgment from the Lord. Let me remind you here, church, that God's people will be judged not for our sin one day, but for our stewardship. Those that know the Lord will stand at what the Bible calls, in three different occasions, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Romans chapter 14, the Bible refers to it as the judgment seat of Christ. I believe it's representative of that, and that is coming to us one day, as Brandy sung earlier. She was talking about that the redemption draweth nigh. I believe that will take place, and the rapture takes place. God's people will stand before the Lord as individuals for the judgment seat of Christ. But then there's another judgment that will come later on, and that when Jesus comes back to this earth, there will be a judgment between the believers and unbelievers in the sense of who are really His people, the sheep and the goats. And He will be able to tell. Right now, I can't tell. I can look out among every one of you, and I do not know by looking at you who are the believers here and who are the unbelievers. I don't have that power. Only God can do that. And by the way, He will do that. You will not be able to hide it from God. You can't right now. And if you're an unbeliever, my heart cry to you today is to get saved. Get born again. Get it settled. Know that you know that you know that you know you're on your way to heaven. Don't go through this life doubting. Don't go through this life with I'm about 90% sure. My friend, you don't want to be 90%. You don't even want to be 99%. You want to be 100% sure. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you better do it today if you haven't done it before. God will save you just like you are. He will make you a new person. But what I want to emphasize here this morning is those of us that are saved, those of us that know the Lord and love Him and try to love Him, we do it, with flaws. But one day we're going to give an account to the Lord. And there's going to be an inspection upon our lives that the Lord's going to give. And I don't pretend and act as if I know how all this is going to look. I have to go by what God's Word tells me. I don't know all the details. But there are some things that the Word of God is really crystal clear on. And it's very sobering. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there's going to be an inspection of your life and my life as a child of God.
You see, the Bible says, as I mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, every man's work, that's believers, shall be made manifest, shall be made clear. There's nothing going to be hid, and it's going to be revealed by fire, the Bible says. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Sort, that's an interesting word. That word sort, what sort it is, what kind it is, also carries the idea of, get this, what value it is. You see, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give an account, not because of what I have done necessarily, but why I did it. What was my motive? Did it have an eternal perspective? Did it have God in mind and His glory? Did it have His majesty? Did it have others' benefit in mind in serving them? That's what God's going to test. Or was it for me? Was it done selfishly? Or arrogantly? Or pridefully? Because some people are super religious. They look so sharp. They got a Bible the size of this pulpit. They do everything correctly that you see. And they're sharp, but they do it for the wrong reasons. They do it for show. Look how religious I am. Well, hey, that's going to burn up wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. You better believe it. And I want to tell you that God's people, we need to be ready. I want to tell you, you do not hear much preaching on the judgment seat of Christ these days. Why is that? It's in the Bible. It's a very important day for every believer. Yes, we're forgiven of our sin. Yes, I'll never go to hell because of Jesus paid it all. I thank God for that. But I realize that one day I'm going to stand before my Savior as His child. And the Lord's going to take a review from the day I was born again. He's going to go through my life, and everything that I've done is going to be tested. It's going to be inspected. The inspection gate. It's important for us to be ready and prepared for that day. I want to preach a message to you entitled, Preparing for the Judgment Seat of Christ. Would you go with me? You can put a place there in Nehemiah. Would you go over to 2 Corinthians with me? This is very important. This will be one of the main passages this morning. Would you flip with me over there? Don't just take my word for it, church. Please, please look to the Bible. Make sure I'm preaching God's word. It's so important. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says there, beginning in verse 10 or verse 9. Let's start with verse 9. It says, wherefore we labor for the Lord, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, may be pleasing to Him. That's what that idea carries. For we must all appear before, what's the next phrase? Now, notice a couple things about this. Number one, it says that we must all. That all is talking about all Christians. You ought to underline that in your Bible. All. We must. It's not a maybe. It's not that you might. It's we all are. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done. That's the body represents your life. That's your mind, will, and emotions. All that's represented through the vessel you're sitting in today. Your body's not the real you. The real you is inside your body. Okay, you're just a shell of you. I'm looking at shells of you. You're looking at a shell of me. The real me's inside here. And the real me is going to give an account of what I did, and more importantly, why I did it. So it says here that we're going to receive everything done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All right? Now, whether it be good or bad, that means whether it was done with the right motive or the wrong motive. Why'd you come to church this morning? I have no idea. For all I know, you came to church because you wanted to come here and worship the Lord. I hope that's true. I believe it is. I'm not going to believe anything else about that. You come here because you were hungry.
You're hungry for God's Word today. You're hungry. You're hungry for fellowship. I take it you came because you wanted to see God's people too. You want to encourage them and worship with them and connect with them. How you doing, brother? Been praying for you about that, sister. How you doing? Seen you in a while. God bless you. Thank you. Just connecting. I hope your motive was spiritually motivated. Because that's what's going to hold up, folks, at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you came here because you were forced, if you came here to be a show, if you came here, listen, I want to tell you, that's where you need to say, Lord, my heart needs help. And I'm not being critical of you, because if you're here and you didn't want to be, I want to tell you, I thank God you're here. Because you're giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work. But we see our motive is very important. That's what will be tested. There will be an inspection. It goes on to say here that knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the idea there. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences here. You see, he gives several motivations here in this passage to the Corinthians. He gives the motivation of the judgment seat of Christ. He talks about here how we are the ambassadors for Christ, that God has called us to represent. He gives several motivations, and we should have some good motivations. That word terror there comes to the idea of having a healthy fear of God. Hey, you know, it's okay to be scared of God. In fact, it's a good thing. If you're not scared of God, and I'm not talking about scared in the sense that He's going to do something malicious or evil or, you know, something that's going to be sinful. No, no, no. God's holy and just. He'll never do anything like that. But I want to tell you what, God and His righteous wrath, we better be fearful of that. There are three motivations. I learned this the other day. Went to the homeschool convention over in Greenville, and I was in a class. They have, I think, over 100 classes. I felt like I was drinking out of a fire hydrant, man. It was just information overload. But one session I went to, it hit me. And it talked about how we are, specifically, it was to dads and it was to parenting. And he says, basically, you got three motivations why your children will do what they do. I said, please, help me out here. Go ahead and tell me. Why they obey, he said. Why are they going to do right? He said, well, number one, they'll do it out of fear of getting punished. Okay? He said, that's just the truth. He said, that especially is true for as they're younger. Toddlers and on up, they don't want to get punished. So they, well, daddy's a lot bigger than me, mommy's a lot bigger than me. Hey, I don't want to mess with them. So there's a fear factor there. I don't want to do that. But that even continues to other degrees. But then there's the fear factor. But then the other motivation why kids want to do right is there's a reward factor. You know, you tell a kid, hey, if you clean your room, we'll go out and buy ice cream. Amen. Let's get it done. Woo! You ever see somebody get a room clean so fast? Hey, there's some motivation there of reward. But he said there's a third motivation that you want to try and pray that God will get a hold of the hearts. He says it doesn't come naturally, but the end goal, the third reason and motivation is for them to do right because it's right. It's just right. And that is my motivation. Lord, even, hey, listen, I know I don't want to offend you, Lord. And by the way, the fear of God is the idea of displeasing Him. I want to please Him. I know I'm not going to lose my salvation. He's never going to take that from me. I'm His forever. But He will correct me. I had a healthy fear of my dad. I'm telling you that right now, growing up. And I sense that too, man. I don't want to offend my Heavenly Father. I know He'll get me. He loves me too much to let me get away with foolishness. You kidding me? My Father knows exactly where I'm at. He knows exactly how to get after His son, Brinson Jennings. And He will, and He does. And He knows you too. Amen. So we need to have a healthy fear of God in that way. But then He also rewards His children. Praise God He does. He promises blessings for obedience. And He daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. Who woke up blessed this morning? Woo!
Hey, fresh air. We had food in the pantry, in the fridge. We had a bed that we got up from, a nice comfortable bed. We had a vehicle we were able to get in. Hey, we had life. We had family. Listen, the blessings of God. Whew, so many, I can't count them. And I thank God for that He does bless obedience. But then when it comes right down to it, I want to serve my Lord. Because He tells me in His Word to do so. Just obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. He said, just follow me. Just obey my word. And whether you feel it or not, whether it's popular or not, whether it's convenient or not, just follow me. Just obey me. And it's right. And that's where we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and Lord willing, we'll be able to say, we'll have a lot of silver and gold and precious stone to lay up, to lay back at our Savior's feet. I hope it'll outweigh, outnumber the wood, hay, and stubble. And one day, we'll be able to lay it back at the Savior's feet because of what we did. We did it because it was right in His sight. It was pleasing to Him. It was for His glory. It was for the benefit of others and encouraging them spiritually, seeking to be a blessing. That's what's going to be tested. And we won't be able to make any excuses. Okay? He's going to hold us accountable for what we know and what we did as His children. You all know it's spring cleaning, right? How many of you got on the spring cleaning bandwagon yet? Amen. There's two of us. Okay. We're looking at... when I say got on the bandwagon, I mean I have started thinking about it. I hadn't started doing it. There's a lot to do. Amen. Now... I looked in, you got the windows to clean, and you know, it's the windowsill that the debris and stuff that gets trapped in there, and then of course in the garage, man, the garage. Oh, bless the garage. Amen. The stuff we find in the garage, oh my. But you know, it's that time of year, and we start looking at doing some inspecting. Okay, what really needs to be here and what doesn't need to be here? What needs to go to the dump, perhaps to the Goodwill. It's just basically we identified as it's no longer useful to us. It's time for it to go. It's time for it to disappear. And I tell you this, you get somebody that is against clutter, you let them clean out your garage and you'll have the cleanest garage ever. And you'll lose all your good stuff. That stuff that'll be useful, right? Yeah, that's right. So what you do is you go in there and you inspect. Now, I know some stuff right off in my garage. Of course, I already said one other thing is dust. There's no use for dust. It's just dirty. It collects big old dust balls and whatever else is. Somebody told me one time that dust is dead skin. I said, that's gross, all right? I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, there's the idea of all this dust. That's just useless. It's worthless. It needs to go out. I think of course, in the wintertime, our Labrador, Gracie, she spends most of her time outside. But when it gets to a certain temperature outside, we'll bring her in the garage. I think it's like 10 below we bring her in. But just kidding. I'm just kidding. But when it gets cold out there, we'll bring her in the garage where it's warm. She's got a kennel in there, a nice quilt that she lays on, stays warm when it gets cold out. But because of that, she sheds like crazy. She's a lab, yellow lab, it sheds like crazy. Well, that stuff gets out in the garage, and that stuff's useless. It's just worthless. It just needs to be swept up, discarded, put out, just get rid of it because it's worthless. Now, there are other things in our garage, as one has Brother Wes just said. There are many things in our garage that are useful. I mean, of course, you got the kids' bikes there. They love riding that for recreation. Of course, I mentioned the kennel. The kennel's a good thing. It's very practical to put her in there so she don't chew up everything in my garage. I mean, there are different things, and I could go through it. There are my tools, my shovels, the rakes, and just whatnot. I could go through the list. You could, too. Some of you actually park your car in your garage.
Hey, those are useful, right? That works out, right? We're part one, okay? We're trying to get there, amen? We're halfway there, but you pray for us. But anyway, there is that element of useful. But listen, when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, all those things we've done for just the wrong reasons, apart from, Lord, I do this for your glory, because you said it was right in your word, therefore, whether I agree with it or not, I'm going to do it. All those things to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell you, those are the things that are going to be what we call valuable. That's a good sort. But the dust, the dog hair stuff, the just the rubbish and the things that get out, especially if you have small kids, you wouldn't believe what you find in there. And they love chalk art. And I'm telling you, I have never found so many little pieces of chalk in my life. Well, they're no good anymore. They get down to a certain point. The kids just say, that's useless. I'm not using that. Well, I just say as an excuse, there are things like that are useless. But listen, those types of things are going to burn up at the judgment seat. So you need to let God do an inspection now, because you're going to be getting one later. And the idea of being successful at the judgment seat of Christ, where we can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is where we can get ready for right now. In a Sunday morning service like that, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to each of your hearts and my heart, He's saying, son, daughter, you know what the preacher's talking about. You know what my word's saying. You got some things right now that you're doing for the wrong reason. You've got misplaced priorities. Something's going on here. Are you doing it for my glory? Are you doing it because you're doing it with a spirit-filled attitude? Are you doing it to please me and to walk with me? Are you doing it to be used of the Lord? Hey, now's the time we can get ready for the judgment seat of Christ. Well, we can have treasures laid up so that we can one day have something to give back to our God for all eternity. It'll matter. Someone said, I'd rather have a handful of diamonds than two truckloads of hay. And a lot of us are building up truckloads of hay because of our motive and what we're doing and why we're doing. We're running the rat race of this life, and God gets second, third, fourth, and fifth place in our lives. And we just got so consumed with ourselves that we've forgotten about the glory of God. We've forgotten about His will. And the reason why we want to do it for Him and His glory, to impact this world for Jesus Christ. Hey, we want those handful of diamonds because of the right motive. It'll all be revealed. It will be. It's important, believer, to be ready for that. There are six main areas that each person in this room will give an account for. You may have heard three of them. I've heard three of them. I came up with three more. They're probably not original with me. I'm sure they've been said better, but this is what came to my heart as I studied and prepared for this message. Jot these down, would you? Six main areas we will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ as believers. Number one, our time. We'll give an account how we use our time. How do you use your time? How much time do you spend with the Lord daily? Reading His Word. How much time do you spend praying? How much time do you do soul winning? How much time do you spend encouraging your family to love the Lord? How much time do you spend in serving others as a witness for Jesus? We spend a lot of time at work. It's necessary. But that time at work, is it done for the glory of God? Listen, I understand. I'm talking to some people here. Some of you may have a job, and really, quite honestly, you don't like it. And if I was in your shoes, I probably wouldn't either. Maybe it's an arrogant boss. Maybe it's a mean-spirited boss. Maybe it's an environment that's just really toxic. I get that. But can I give you an encourage? When you go in and you clock in, I know we don't necessarily clock in like we used to, but however you go in, whether you're on salary or on clock, I want to tell you, you ought to do it for the glory of God. Don't go in there disgruntled. Don't go in there complaining about your boss and your co-workers. Go in there and use that time that God's given you for the glory of God. Your time. Spending your time to come to church. Hey, it's no wasted time. It's purposeful. We're worshiping together. Thank you for taking time to be
here with God's people, the local church, God's plan. Thank you. We want to redeem the time for the days of evil. We're going to give an account for it. How much time do you spend on the phone? How much time do you spend binge watching Netflix? These things matter. Is there ever a time to binge watch? I suppose. Hey, whatever. Rainy day, you just need to relax. Hey, I'm not condemning you. Maybe there is every once in a while. But if it's a regular occurrence where you're spending hours and hours just on social media or binge watching, then I want to tell you, you're going to give an account for that. And that's all going to burn. That's all going to go up in flames. It's going to be tested. God says that, hey, those things in moderation are okay. They can be used as tools. They can be used as... Listen, I'm not being hard on you. I'm just trying to tell you, we need to be ready. And we need to consider these things. Okay? Time. Second one, the second T is treasure. That's what we do with what God's given us. Our treasure, if you will. That's our finances. That's our belongings. My house. Is my house being used for the Lord? I'm going to have to give an account one day, and God's going to ask me, Brinson, did you use your house for the Lord? Yes, you used it to sleep in, and yes, you kept your family covered from the elements of the outside. That's good. I mean, that's commendable. You provide a shelter for your family. Those are good. But what about using it for inviting neighbors, inviting church members? What about your vehicles? Are your vehicles being used for the Lord? What about other things? Your belongings? What about your finances? Are they being used for the Lord? I mean, are you tithing? Are you giving the Faith Promise missions? If you see a brother in need, are you perhaps thinking about at least giving them a loaded handshake or something where you can bless them that day? Hey, we're going to give an account for the ways He has blessed us with our treasures. We're not using them selfishly. Hey, if you got a bass boat, take your preacher fishing, okay? But our treasures, are we using them for the Lord? Our third T is our talents. Our talents. God's gifted everyone here, everyone in this room. If you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift that's very important to this local church and to a lost world. Are you using it for the Lord? Are you using your spiritual gifts for the Lord, however He's gifted you? A lot of times your talents, some people have natural talents. It's not the same thing as a spiritual gift, although they can mix. Okay, they can't overlap because God intended that way. But Michael Jordan had a talent to shoot basketball. That's not a spiritual gift. But there are spiritual gifts that we have that God's given us, every one of us, and we need to use it for the Lord. Find out where it is and plug it into the local church like this one and say, I just want to be a blessing and I want to use my gift out and about to be a testimony for Christ. Our talents. I hope you're not letting it go to waste. And not only our talents, but I want to give you three more. Those are quite often, but I want to tell you something else we're going to give an account for. And this one scares me the most. Our tongue. The Bible says we'll give an account for every idle word. As a Christian, I'm going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to hold me accountable for every word that I speak while I have breath. But not just what words I used, but why'd you use those words, Brinson? Why did you gossip? Why did you judge harshly and critically? Why did you slander? Why did you speak evil? Why did you speak wrathfully? Why did you hold back your word when I gave you a tongue to speak on my behalf and my glory? Why didn't you use your tongue to speak the gospel? I'm going to give an account for the tongue that He's given me to be able to speak. Why didn't you preach this? And there are going to be some messages, and I realize He's going to be saying, Brinson, why did you preach this? If you don't think that concerns this preacher, it does. I think about that often. Lord, I ask God, what do you want me to say? Because I realize I am just like you. I have tendencies to fail in my understandings of things. I'm finite. I'm limited. And I say, God, I just let me speak what's going to honor you. And God, check my motive.
Don't let me speak because I'm insecure about things. Don't let me speak because I'm bitter about something. Do not let me speak with that motive, Lord. Let me speak with the fruit of the Spirit. And it's going to honor You and help others. I'm not going to speak because I'm going to give an account for my tongue. And not only my tongue, but then the fifth one here is I'm going to give an account for my temple. The temple, your body, the Bible says, is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you get that one? Write that one down. Your temple. Everything I do in this body, I'm going to give an account. The things I eat, the things I drink, the things I do, do I do all to the glory of God? Where I take this body, what I use for this body, what I do to this body, everything I do in this body, I will give it an account because I am the temple of the Holy Ghost if you're a believer. And it even says at the judgment seat of Christ, He will give an account everything done in His body. That's what the Bible says. And I'm just going to say this briefly. I'm going to pass on. But the Bible does speak a specific consequence that it doesn't speak on other sins, doesn't diminish the seriousness of other sins. But this Bible speaks a specific and unique type of judgment on sexual sins. Whether it be fornication, adultery, whatever. Pornography, self-gratification, all those things. I'm telling you, it speaks that there's a specific judgment that comes with sexual sins that causes harm to the body, that causes harm to the mind. And I'm going to have to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ of how I used my body, bad and good. I want my body to be used for the Lord. How about you? Let's use our bodies and our minds to go out and serve the Lord Jesus in a lost and dying world. Let's let our bodies be present in the local church and encourage one another in the Lord. Let's use our bodies to do the work of God while we have day. Because one day He's coming and we will have no opportunity to serve here on this earth where we're going to have to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. That's all now. My body, your body. How are you using your body? The temple. But then, lastly, and I'm closing with this, we're going to give an account for our task. Everyone in this room has a task. I almost use the word tribe here, meaning your family. But I just felt like the Lord wanted me to just, the task of a daddy. I'm going to give an account. Brinson, how did you lead Mary Ann, Thomas, Caroline, Chloe, and Gloria? How did you lead them? How did you encourage them spiritually? How did you love my daughter, Joanna? How did you lead her? How did you help her? How did you encourage her? I'm going to give an account for that. Husbands, you're going to give an account for how you lead your wives, how you love your wives. You're going to give an account. Children, you're going to give an account. How did you obey your mom and daddy? Your task, everybody in this room has got a role, a task at hand. And it's all, some of them are very different and unique. Some of them are very similar. Mom, you're going to give an account. How did you support your husband? How did you love him knowing that he was fallible? Did you just try to take the helm and run all over him? I hope to God there's no wife in this room that badmouths their husband. I hope to God there's no wife in here that badmouths their husband in front of their children. And vice versa. Don't badmouth each other. Period. We're called to encourage and lift up one another because we're going to give an account for the task. I'm going to give an account as a pastor. I don't believe for a moment the Lord Jesus is going to say, Brinson, why didn't you get more people into the church? I believe what I'm going to have is I'm going to have to get an account. Brinson, what did you do with the people that were there? How did you love them and pastor them? How did you pray for them? I've given you a task, son. Are you pouring? Are you doing what I told you to do? Are you equipping them, preparing them? I want to give an account for that. There's going to be an inspection. Why'd I do it? Why am I here? Why am I preaching today? Why am I the pastor of this church? That's what I'm going to be held accountable for. Why are you doing that, Brinson? I want to do it for the glory of God. That's what's going to stand. That's going to be the precious stone that God allows us to lay up in heaven. You know that old song, lay up your treasures in heaven. Lay up your treasures in glory. There's nothing in this world can take them away.
I can't sing the rest of it. We ought to get a quartet that sings that, Brother Mike. Lay up your treasures. That's what it is. Lay up your treasures is simply living in the light of the judgment seat of Christ and doing everything I do with a motive that is seeking to bless others and honor and esteem the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And it's not just because of fear of punishment, which, hey, it's healthy to have that. It's not just for reward, which that will be there. That's a part of the motivation. There's nothing sinful about having those two as reward. But I want my main motivation, sister, brother, I want my main motivation to do what I'm doing is because it's right. This is what you've said, Lord. Whether I agree with it or not, whether I feel like doing it or not, I want to do it because it's right. Let's pray.